Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Telling Everybody Everything from the UAE, where I am politically conflicted, but here nevertheless, and really, I don't want to fucking hear about it, because I haven't been influencing much on the gram. That is a bird. I'm recording from outside because I wanted to share this experience with those of you who might be locked down in America, or in the UK, or in Korea, where I have a lot of fans. We're in Canada, where I have about 4 fans and my dad's friends who listen to this podcast because they're obsessed with gossip. And this podcast is not for you. If you know anyone in my family or you know me personally, these are very private things I discuss on the podcast, and you have to listen to a different podcast. Can I recommend Ramesh Ranganathan, Hip Hop Saved My Life? Can I recommend, Women on Top, a podcast that actually I went on very recently. I don't know if that episode has come out yet. It's by these wonderful American women, Tamin and Roxy. Tamin is an incredible actress. Roxy is red carpet Roxy. She does a lot of entertainment stuff. Anyway, they're both great. Very loud. American women are louder than us, but it works for them. Anyway, I decided to record outside because I thought you would enjoy the soothing sounds of the ocean or the banging of construction, because they put up new buildings all the time where I am. Not sure why. My daughter Googled it. The population is like 3 million people. And I feel like they each have a high-rise skyscraper, I suppose. I don't know why that is. I'll look into it. I felt conflicted about coming here. I wasn't really sure what I was allowed to do or whether or not I was a person. But then I searched it up, and it said that if I were to move here, all I would need is a certificate of permission from my husband or father, and I would be allowed to get a job. So that sounds tight. I will go straight into emails. I never get through enough emails, so we're going to do emails from 2 minutes in. The first one is called Shit to Parenting Due to 2020. Catherine, I gave birth to my first child, my daughter, during the height of lockdown back in April, and I'm starting to worry about the impact of the shit show that is 2020. And when it comes to me returning to work, how will that go? I'm due back in 3 days. We're planning for her to go to Grandma A for one day, Grandma B for another, and nursery for the third. I love the idea that maybe your baby calls the grandmas Grandma A and Grandma B. I called my dad's mom Nana, and my mom's mom Dorothy, because she didn't like granny, grandma, none of the above. I don't know why we just went with Dorothy. But Grandma A and Grandma B is better. Due to COVID, we haven't been out much with her. We live in a tourist hotspot in Wales. It was a busy summer, and we didn't feel comfortable leaving our home with so many people around, so we didn't. I can see how you would feel that way with a new baby. And you don't want to get Grandma A or B sick, either. Autumn then rolled around and tourism died down. However, the second wave then hit. Aha, after the tourists all left. They left you with their diseases. Between the two, we only made it out for leisure days a couple of times. We've been unable to form support bubbles with family because of the overlap and high-risk jobs. We've been very cautious since she was born at a time when there was virtually no information regarding infants and COVID. There still isn't, and not with the vaccine either. She spent every single minute of her life with her dad and me. How can I expect her to go to childcare when I haven't even been able to show her that the world is a safe place? The majority of the times we've been out, we've been to go to the doctors, where she's been pretty miserable because she can't see our faces due to our masks. I'm in full support of taking restrictions very seriously, and I'm genuinely wary of its long-term effects. I feel for everyone working in the NHS. I love this disclaimer. You can say what you want, but you just have to be like, much respect to the NHS, I understand this and this and this. Now, say what you want. Do you have any thoughts on how I can make this transition smooth? I mean, not really, because COVID or no COVID, you're fucking up your children. That's part of being a parent. So let's say there was no COVID and your daughter was in a situation where she just passed around through loads of relatives and she spent too much time in nursery. I think I started going to nursery when I was like 3 weeks old. Something ridiculous. And it shows. Some women don't breastfeed and then they feel guilty that they've fucked up their child's immune system. Some women do breastfeed and then they feel some type of way. I don't know. Whatever you do, you're going to feel bad about it. The good news is everyone is in the same position as you this year. I absolutely think it's weird that there are infants who haven't seen anyone else's face but their parents. I completely think that's weird. And we won't know the ramifications of that for a long time to come. But hey, it is what it is. My daughter was born not in a COVID time, but she hated everyone but me. She wouldn't let anyone hold her. And she's sort of, you know, I took her places, sure. But if anyone even tried to make a face at her or play with her, I would have to tell them, just please don't look at her, because she would flip the fuck out and then it was difficult to settle her back down. And it wasn't until she was maybe two that she just felt confident and went to people and went to nursery and went to whomever. But she had a definite clinginess for the first 2 years of her life, and that was pre-COVID. So by choice, Violet never saw anyone's face but mine. She would avoid their gaze. So don't worry about it. I think what's important for an infant is that she has you, and obviously her dad is around. We got Grandma A and Grandma B now. It's going to be fine. Don't beat yourself up, because there's always going to be something that makes you a bad parent. And those are my words of comfort. Just do the best we can. Oh no, this next woman did not realize that she was a mistress. Catherine, I'm a 34-year-old female, and the only relationship I've had was just for over a year, and it turns out the man I was seeing was married with children. At the time, I had a pretty lonely job. I worked on a farm alone where I was in charge of looking after a load of dogs. Well, why weren't you using these animals as weapons? You work on a farm with loads of dogs. Surely a lot of those dogs could be trained for violence and revenge, and I'm not seeing anything in this email about the man being dismembered on the farm. So that is your first mistake. What is the point of these dogs if you can't weaponize them? This man was a friend of the family. Oh, it's always a friend of the family. Families, this is what's great about COVID. Families need to stop having friends. Anytime there's a dodgy uncle situation or whatever, that was never actually the brother of anyone. That was a single man that everybody feels sorry for, so they start calling him uncle, whatever. Hey, Bobby. Bobby. Oh, he's gone inside. I think my husband is Uncle Bobby to a few families because of his period of being single. He would just like stay at their house some weekends and they were like, oh, Uncle Bobby's here. That is what you call a man you feel sorry for. Because like aunts, no aunt does anything weird. You never hear, only the dodgy auntie. It's always a dodgy uncle, and those are not true uncles, and uncles need to, like real uncles need to reclaim the title. I know you're all adults in this situation, but I don't like it. Of course, he was a friend of the family. Keep those friends of family at arm's length. This friend of the family was doing work on their property over a prolonged period, so we struck up a friendship which later turned into something more serious, more sexual. I was very shy and naive at the time, and he was a lot older than me, so I felt I could trust him. No, when he's older than you, you absolutely can't trust him. I opened up to him about a lot of abuse and turmoil I'd suffered as a child, and I feel he took advantage of that. I did question why whenever we met, it was either at my house or he'd pick me up and we'd go somewhere for a drive. And he always came up with an answer for me at the time that I was stupid enough to believe. To cut a long story shorter, I found out about his marriage and the whole other life. And suffice to say, I cut all ties with him there and then. I took it all very hard and I went into quite a deep depression, which I'm glad to say I pulled myself out of. But to this day, I've never spoken to anyone about it as I feel guilty and disgusting. Even the tropical birds cannot believe this. Guilty and disgusting, that is so sad. And I'm sorry that you haven't opened up to anyone about this, because can I say my first reaction when I heard you cut off all ties there and then? No one does that. No one has the strength to do that. I have been in terrible, terrible relationships. I know, birds, I'm telling her. And I knew it was toxic, and I didn't cut off all ties. I tried, and then I got too lonely, and I went back, and then I tried again. And it usually takes 18 months is the average. When you're unhappy and you know something is a dead ting, it takes 18 months to truly extricate yourself. So the fact that you did it in one, well done. And no wonder you felt depression. I mean, it's really hard to do. You mourn the loss of a relationship like a death. I have not had any type of relationship since this, as I didn't feel I deserved to be happy after what I'd done. You didn't do anything. You were exploited. He knew he was married. See, you don't have a responsibility to anyone's wife. He has a responsibility to his wife and family, especially when you didn't know. And ladies, gentlemen, if you're seeing someone who never ever takes you to their house, you have to smell a rat. I have a friend who recently went on a trip to New York City and it all went bad. And she was taking photos in this hotel room. And I said, why are you in a hotel room? Doesn't this guy live in New York City? And she said, yeah, he does. But I've gone to visit him and we got a hotel. And right away I said, oh, he's married. She said, no, he's not. It's just we can't stay at his house for whatever, termites. Who the fuck knows? But this man is married. And we can't confirm that. It all went wrong. But trust me, he's married. And by the way, I was in the opposite situation in my 20s where I started dating an older man. And every weekend, he's like, oh, I'm just going back to my parents' house a few hours away because my mother cooks for me and my mother does my laundry and then I'll be back Monday. And I kind of, as a 20-year-old, I liked the mystique of him maybe being married. I was like, well, you know, he lives in a real shitty apartment downtown and his life seems really unraveled. But actually, I think it's a bachelor pad and he has a beautiful, stunning wife and family in a big house in the countryside. And then I started dating him and we got more serious and I went to this house in the countryside and his parents definitely live there and his mother did cook for him and do his laundry. So that was a disgrace. And sometimes you do want them to be married. I recently moved out of the area after a year of bad health and hospital stays, and I'm determined that I'm going to have a fresh start and be happy. Well, let me tell you, your bad health and hospital stays are all related to the autoimmune response brought on by this terrible trauma of depression and this awful married man. I bit the bullet. I joined a dating site where I've been speaking to a guy who seems very nice, and we arranged to meet this week for coffee in a very public, safe place. But I'm so nervous, and I'm thinking of calling the whole thing off. He's bound to ask me about previous relationships, and how do I go about telling someone I've been in a relationship, or rather, affair, with a married man? I sound like a slut, and I'm so upset just thinking about it. You do not sound like a slut. You need to change your affirmations. I know that in your head you've created this narrative where you did something wrong. You did nothing wrong. I always say the best place to start a relationship is from a position of power where you don't feel vulnerable. So if you have been alone for a solid amount of time and you feel like you've dealt with this trauma, you're on the other side of it, and you can enter this date from a place of power, then it's fine to go on. And if he asks you about previous relationships, you can be honest-ish without going too much into detail, not because you should be ashamed, but just because this married man doesn't deserve space in your life, in your thoughts, in your new relationship anymore. You can be like, well, my last relationship was bad, honestly. There was a lot of dishonesty. Moved on from that now, and I'll be watchful for it next time. Let's go to your house. You just have to learn from your mistakes. Don't repeat them. And crucially, stop blaming yourself for being an empathic, open, trusting person. That's a wonderful thing to be, and I hope you never lose that. And in this relationship, sure, if there are red flags, then there are red flags. My advice would always be, if you don't trust someone, don't go through their phone. Don't ruin the relationship by being completely caught up in those thoughts of mistrust. I'll tell you this, if I ever felt like going through my partner's phone, that would be the last day of our relationship. I wouldn't even go through the phone. If you think you need to go through the phone, you're done. You don't have the trust that you need. And that might be his fault, that might be your fault. It doesn't matter. I'm proud of you. I think we can all be inspired by you. You've done nothing wrong. Say hi to the dogs. Oh my gosh, this next email is such an open and shut case. If you are over the age of 23, please just skip through it unless you want to be screaming in your car or in your walk or wherever you are. Oh, Violet's here. Violet, hi.
Hi. What's the tea?
I'll tell you the tea in a sec. Violet's not in love with this person, so she has no cognitive dissonance. She will be able to see quite clearly what the hell is going on here. And what's going on here is a savagery of massive proportions, is an outrage. And your answer is coming at you. I'm a 23-year-old woman. I've been in relationship with my boyfriend on and off for the past 4 years. So since you were 19.
Oh, wow.
I love him so much, but I'm also aware a lot of the stuff he does is abusive. Every time a lot of this sort of behavior happens, I plan on leaving him, but then things get super nice for a month or so, and I feel awful for leaving him. I broke up with him last year, and I felt so depressed without him. We got back together this year, and we moved a state away from our families. He has severe mental health problems and has been in a severely abusive relationship before and won't forget that I left him. I know that if I broke up with him again, he'd attempt to take his own life. He's called my friends toxic and cut me off from all of them. I can't leave because I can't afford to pay the notice on the rent, and he can't afford to get somewhere new in this place where he knows no one. Even if I manage to leave, I don't have a good relationship with my family, and I wouldn't want to move home. Here's the thing. I've been offered a place at Stanford University next year.
Whoa.
And I really want to go. We moved state so we could go to college together, and I know he'd be so mad if he found out I applied and got in. He's bigger than me, and although he's never been physically violent with me, he still scares me. What do I do? Stay
okay.
with him till next year? I know he sounds awful, but I actually really love him.
Alright, here we go. So, obviously, that man needs to be put in a mental health hospital. He is not very well in the head, if you know what I mean. He's not with it. If you can stay with your abusive boyfriend for a year, you'll definitely be able to stay with your parents.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly. So if you just want to stay with your parents just for like a little bit to help you get back on your feet, you can get a nicer job. You could stay with your friends and apologize. Say you're in the middle of a string. He's trying to cut off both of those strings and he's trying to like keep you for himself. And that will make him feel like somewhat safer. It's really abusive. He sounds very abusive. And I know you love him a lot, but I hate to say this to you, but he's only being nice just to make you stay, and then he'll go back to his abusive patterns. So I think you should stay with your mother, or like your family, or your friends. Just find a place for a year and completely cut him off.
The birds are losing it. The cruise ships are losing it. The construction workers have taken a very frowned upon break from their intense labor schedule because no one can believe how blinded by love you are, and it happens to us all, but you don't love this person. You are in a sick, codependent relationship with who sounds to be a narcissistic psychopath. I cannot diagnose anyone officially on the podcast, but this person needs help, and that help can't come from you. You can make one phone call, one emergency phone call to try to help, because that's what, you know, a thoughtful person does, but then you have to leave for your own safety. This threat, it's such a common one. I'll kill myself if you leave. That holds people hostage all the time, and I'm sorry to say it's simply not your responsibility. You have to keep yourself safe. Put your own mask on first. You are going to Stanford University, and I don't know the logistics of where you're going to live or how you're going to do that. You're just going to have to live in squalor for a while. Take some really small flat somewhere, meet some new people who need a roommate. Live with your parents like Violet, an 11-year-old, said. They might not be ideal, but at least you're safe there. You got to get out of this. Out, out, out. It's never going to get better. It's only going to get worse. You cannot be held responsible for someone else's mental health, unfortunately. I know we all wish we could heal the world. We can't. And on that terrifying note, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more emails. Oh, this next email touches on something that was so huge on my Instagram last week. I happened to post something, they shared Honey Ross, who's a wonderful model, author, influencer. She posted something to the effect of, teenage girls, when an older man is interested in you, it's not because you're mature, it's because he's a predator. And then my inbox was absolutely flooded with stories from grown women and also teenagers who had experiences where they felt that they'd been taken advantage of by an older person who made them feel mature and chosen. My very favorite comedian, Jen Kirkman, has an excellent bit in her special about this. She has a few Netflix specials. Check out Jen Kirkman if you can. She's one of many female comedians who's such an amazing champion of others, and she's always promoting other people's work. Jen is always so articulate. Like, no, you feel chosen, and that's by design. You're not. 35-year-old women will not talk to these pricks, and so they impress 16-year-olds, and this is what's happening. So many stories from women, but equally so much vitriol from men who are upset that I'm shining a light on this. They're like, wait a minute. Well, what? An 18-year-old woman is not free to make her own decision. Basically, they want to continue to fuck teenagers and they're annoyed at me for raising the alarm. Yes, an 18-year-old is technically an adult, but you are also adult enough to understand power structures and imbalances and coercion. And you know that women your age don't talk to you, so fuck off. Here's the email. Catherine, I watched The Duchess, I watched all your stand-up, and now I've been listening to your podcast. I saw your story on Instagram about girls thinking they're mature being with older guys while they're still in their teens. As a 15-year-old, I met a guy in his early 20s at a family friend's wedding. Oh, here we go, the family friends again. He took such an interest in me very quickly. We talked every day. We sexted. We spent a lot of time together. We'd talk every day and sext every night. If you don't know what sexting is, it's like sexy texts, but I'm sure you know what it is. But he made it clear he could never do anything in person for fear of making things worse for himself in the event we were caught. I was so brainwashed. Looking back, oh my God, this was a man. Finished college, lived on his own, had a flashy car and a real job, had about 10 years of sexual experience on me, and yet he was trying to get with someone in high school? I didn't even look at it that way at the time. At the time, I thought I was so lucky. I knew it was wrong, but the more I looked at it, I felt that it was just misunderstood. Like I wanted it, or I thought I did, just as much as he did. I kept it a secret from grown-ups to protect this guy. You were so young that you still called them grown-ups. It was like my mission to make sure he was never caught sexting a minor and that I was choosing to keep it a secret to protect him. Not once did he ever ask me to keep secrets. This was just an unspoken request or thing I'd try to prove myself by routinely saying how much he could trust me, purely in an attempt to win him over and to make sure he wouldn't leave. Yeah, it's also something you were doing to please him, wasn't it? I don't think someone has to explicitly say, don't tell any grown-ups. I mean, he did. He expressed that he didn't want to get caught before. So, I mean, you knew that it was not something you should tell grown-ups. I made the mistake of introducing my best friend to him, who was 2 years younger than I was. I was 17. She was 15. They started talking, and I started suspecting things. But it wasn't until the following year that I went to England, and they spent a lot of time together while I was away, and it was very apparent they were sexting and stuff, just like we had. Then I realized, okay, this is much more than just me. I didn't speak to him for a very long time, but more out of betrayal. He said he did nothing wrong, and I had no interest. It wasn't until over a year or so later he finally said he knew what he did was wrong, blah, 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 and I believed him. We're still very good friends, but I see things very differently now, and I wish I'd gotten help at the time because that fostered so many unhealthy traits moving forward, feeling like I need to hide things and that it's okay to have secret relationships and letting men take advantage. Don't you see what you continue to do? Full disclosure, there's no Canada or England in the actual email. I added those things. I'm changing details. I did this, like I always do, because the author of the email asked me to change details, so I put in my own places, Canada and England. You're still protecting him. I'm the grown-up. In the email, you wrote, oh, please change the actual things because, you know, I don't want to make him mad. He's still your friend? Why is he still your friend? You're still very young? Guess what? He's still very fucking old. He had absolutely no business sexting a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old. I don't care if it's legal. I mean, I do. I care very much, but it's not the whole point. This was an abuse of power. It was a total imbalance. Just because he didn't physically have sex with you does not make him exempt from predatorial behavior. This person needs to not be in your life. Why the hell you would still stay friends with him and then write in your email that I should be complicit in protecting him. Absolutely fuck this guy. Who knows what else he has done? I don't like it, and it happens so often, and it's not your fault. I have told this story before, but when Bobby Kay and I broke up at prom, I decided, all right, this is the last time this love of my life is going to mistreat me. And it was. But I decided what I would do is go home with the prom security guard who was 31 and I thought was a real man with a flashy car and a cool... No, when you're 17, every car is a flashy car. And he had children and he was problematic.
and I continued to see this man, and we kept it pretty secret. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He was dating a girl in high school that he met at fucking prom because she was vulnerable, because her boyfriend, now husband, Bobby K, broke up with her at prom. No, I'll never let him live that down. But it was my idea to go after this cool security guard because I was sad and because I really wanted to get back at my boyfriend and I needed comfort. And I thought, all right, I'm going to date the biggest guy here because I was stupid, because I was a teenager. And that's why adults are in a trusted position to protect us when we're young and dumb and make stupid decisions. How many 30-something-year-old women do you see dating boys in high school? You're 23 years old now, or 25 or 26, whatever you said. Would you date a boy in high school? Would you sext a boy in high school? It happens, and when it happens, it's a lifetime movie, like Mary Kay Letourneau, a big story in the news for years and years and years. They're married now, by the way. It's a beautiful love story. However, this is fucked up. Stop protecting this person. Stop being friends with him. Thank you for sharing your story, because so many of us have a story like this. And if you're a teenager and you listen to my podcast, yes, I understand 15-year-old boys are not interesting to you, and it's better to date someone with a car, and you do feel special and you do feel chosen, but you have to realize that it can cause long-term damage, feelings of shame, and you're just worth more than that. So just wait. Just wait. And you know what? Bobby was my age, and I loved him, and he acted like a child, and he broke my heart. So, you know, it's tricky, but please do not date an adult, because that adult is only after you so that he can boss you around, and because no women his own age talk to him. Oh gosh, this one's fun because I'm guilty of it too. Dear Catherine, I'm guilty of all of these emails. What? Sometimes I think, oh, why would you write me about that? And it was literally me. Catherine, I recently had a falling out with a longtime friend of mine, and I want to get out of this friendship. To be honest, I feel like we've been drifting apart for the last year. Even though we've been talking to each other constantly, daily almost, we just disagree on fundamental things, specifically where we stand on our mutual friends and each other's life choices. The friendship has turned quite toxic. I really want to end the thing, but here it is. The girl has years of WhatsApp messages where we've been slandering our friends, our family members, our partners. I'm afraid she could weaponize these messages against me, use them to start serious drama in my life, or turn many of my friends against me. This is something she has done to other people who've turned away from her, so I'm afraid it could be my turn unless I keep her as a friend. Surely I have dirt on her too, but I feel like using that would go against my values. I don't think she has the same values. Yaha, this is how you're different. I know talking shit about people is wrong and that I kind of had this situation coming, but who doesn't in the course of years worth of friendship badmouth people? Because of all of this, I strive to keep in touch with her and keep her within my circle, but I feel like I'm being held hostage in a friendship I no longer want. What can I do? This, I think, is going to be such a relatable problem. I am fully monstrous on text messages with a few of my friends, not all my friends. I think the key is to really, and this won't help you now, but if you are listening and you aren't in this horrible situation right yet, really be careful about who you're evil with. You got to put your friendships into tiers, like areas of the UK during lockdown. You cannot be talking shit about any tier one friends, because if that were to come out, that's a huge shock. It would hurt everyone's feelings. And those are a sacred tier of holy friends that you just don't talk shit about. Tier two friends, you can talk shit about, but you have to be very careful to whom. Because yes, it could be damaging. Yes, it could get out. Tier three friends, you can talk all the shit that you want, but you can only really have close tier one friend WhatsApps that you talk to tier three shit about. So I feel like what you've done here is you might have reversed the whole system and put yourself in a very vulnerable position by talking shit about tier one friends with a tier three friend. You've got it all backwards. And that's what you absolutely cannot do. Maybe, oh God, distance yourself gracefully from this tier three friend. Maybe don't cut it off completely, but just talk to them less and less. You don't need to make a big announcement about your departure. Do you know on Facebook, on social media, when people make the big departure announcement, I will be shutting down all of, nobody gives a fuck. Just quietly disappear. Hopefully this person will not weaponize your words against you. And in the future, you need to talk trash about tier three friends to tier one friends. not the other way around. It's too dangerous. It's too damaging. And if you found out your good, good, good friends were talking trash about you to this person, you'd be very hurt as well. So distance yourself gracefully. I wish you the best. And if there's anything that you can do, is to definitely learn this lesson and learn it well for the future so you don't find yourself in this situation again. Depending on the quality of your friendships and the trust level, you might be able to get away with a preemptive confession. You could go to some important tier one friends and say, listen, I'm going to distance myself from tier friend whomever. I don't think that relationship's good. And in that relationship, I got caught up in some real shit talking. And I want to apologize because I did slag you off. I didn't mean the things that I said. I was caught up in the joy of libelous slander. And hopefully that person can relate because we've been there and it's so much fun to be evil in a WhatsApp, but only in a trusted group and hopefully a group who knows your heart and knows you don't really mean it. Please be careful. I wish you the best next time. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, here's some disgusting shit I never thought I'd have to talk about. And it's, I don't even want to say his name. Hi, Violet. What are you doing? Come here so we can hear you.
I'm looking for bunnies.
You're looking for my entire trip. If you follow me on Instagram, has been about searching for wild rabbits. We are at this resort in the Emirates. Very COVID safe. By the way, everyone is just the best. I mean, they're safe here. Anyway, they cover their faces. Anyway, so wonderful and relaxing. Violet, thank you for coming on this trip with me. But someone somewhere had the bright idea to bring up ton of rabbits to the island and breed them. I mean, I think rabbits are just self-breeding, but the freaking place is covered in bunnies. Come closer to the microphone if you can, Violet, and tell
us.
What have you been enjoying about the rabbits?
I love how cute they are, and I love that I could just feed them. And there's a bird bathing in our pool right now.
Ew. Well, if we don't catch COVID, we'll catch bird flu then. It'll be a ball.
I love that bird. Hi, birdie.
Violet loves animals. Even from the time she was a little baby, she would not eat anything with a face. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So birdie. When she started as a toddler eating cookies and cupcakes, because I'm not perfect, if a face or an animal was painted on it, Violet would not eat it. She'd be like, oh, and she'd look after it and cradle it and carry it around till it rotted.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I used to keep a baby mango because my friend drew a face on it, and I kept it around until it went moldy. And I found it in my room the other day, so that's fun.
Well, I have a face, so hopefully you keep me around till I go moldy. So what are you doing now? Where'd you get that fruit?
The really nice man just dropped off a fruit basket with everything in it, and then I cut it up, and I'm going to feed it to the bunnies.
All right. Enjoy. I'll come bunny hunting with you soon.
How soon?
I think I'll be done in, like, 10 minutes.
Cool.
Love ya.
Love ya.
These rabbits. There are free petting zoos in the UK. I spend hours a day in the sunshine just looking for rabbits. And then we find rabbits. Of course, they're everywhere. And then, oh, let's go find another rabbit. It could be the same rabbit. I can't tell rabbits apart. We used to have pet rabbits. I felt that they didn't show me any affection. They just poop like every 10 minutes. They are cute, but I just don't warm to rodents. I'm sorry. Okay. This next email, I cannot believe I'm uttering this person's name on my podcast, but this is a thing that's been going on online in the reality TV world. If you don't follow it, I don't want to say his name, Stephen Bear. Okay, Catherine, are you following the whole Stephen Bear, Georgia Harrison situation? It's horrible. When I heard this, I felt absolutely sick to my stomach. I know you aren't about cancel culture or slating people on the pod, but I would be interested in your thoughts. If the allegations are true, a man has secretly filmed himself and his ex-partner having sex without consent. To film, shared the footage, monetized the footage, gaslit the victim, confesses to wanting to fake suicide to win back public favor. It is the worst. His attitude toward people, but specifically women, in any of the shows he's been on has troubled me at times. I hoped it was a persona he applied for reality TV. No one could possibly be this warped. He embodies the character Sick Boy from Irving Welsh's books. Why do you read books, yet you know who this person is? That's the disconnect that I have. If you're listening to the podcast and you don't know who this person is, congratulations. There's no need to search it up. What you need to know is in the body of the email. There is currently a reality TV person who is alleged to have monetized a video of himself having sex with an ex-girlfriend, and allegedly she didn't know this video was being taken, and she was really upset and crying on Instagram, and then he responded. It's the back and forth of the reality culture. The whole thing disgusts me. I have worked with this person before, and I very much would say I don't think this person is being looked after. I don't think this person is well. I don't think this person should be featured on any reality TV, and I cannot believe that production companies don't have more of a responsibility when they amplify and encourage these types of personalities. I'm with you. I don't know if it's a character or not. While I was with this person, they certainly didn't break character, and I would put them as probably the most useless and annoying person I've ever worked with. But I also was sad. I felt quite worried to the point of sadness, and I had no fun on the record, and I have never felt like that before. So this whole situation is a mess. If you want to talk about the greater narrative of revenge porn or monetizing a video or taking a video in the first place without someone's consent, that is a crime. And if that crime has been committed, then the people involved should definitely be pursued legally and pay for these crimes. And I would be glad if I never heard from this person ever again. Thanks for your email, but, you know, what's my stance on the situation? Well, obviously. Can you imagine I was like, well, I think he's deeply misunderstood and you should film whoever you want having sex. And no, I mean, everything I'm about is against this. And it makes me sad. So thank you for your email. My heart goes out to this person involved in the video. I think she should not be ashamed. You know, what's done is done. When these things come out, I think there's an outpouring of support and sympathy for the exposure that she has suffered. But, you know, we need to really look at what we're doing with this scum culture of reality TV, which is sometimes very compelling and very beautiful and heartwarming, and other times just amplifies people who are very dangerous. So, you know, I don't know. I don't like it. And if you work for a newspaper and you for some reason want to continue to write about this story and you use my name and my comments on my podcast, and if I see my fucking name next to his name, do you know how much that's going to hurt me? Please, newspapers, don't do it. And please don't put any pictures of him near me. And please just don't put him or his name or this story anywhere near me. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed the soothing sounds of the sea, the podcast telling everybody everything, coming at you from a holiday place. I wish that I could take you with me. I am being responsible and being safe, just so you know. I had many tests before I came. I'm not trying to flaunt my vacation like Kim Kardashian, saying I just wanted normalcy and then took her whole family to a private island. I am working here. If you would like to email me, you can write tellingeverybodyeverything@gmail.com. Please enjoy the sounds of the sea once more. And I hope you feel relaxed and happy. And I hope you're preparing for a wonderful Christmas wherever you are. I will be back next week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.